Parshat Vayigash. So I wanted to come up, I wanted to find a topic. There's a lot of amazing topics in Vayigash. I wanted to come up with something that we haven't talked about before at Oraita. So this is actually an interesting discussion. I read a story once about a fellow by the name of Attila Pechauer. I'm willing to bet nobody here has ever heard of Attila Pechauer. It's actually a good example of how someone that it seems like such a big deal at the time, and eventually those things get forgotten. He was an Olympic athlete. Okay, in the 1920s and 1930s, probably the coolest, most macho sport was not basketball. It wasn't football. Not our football, not their football. It wasn't football. Anybody know what it was? It was. Oh, if only you would yell out and be as enthusiastic about what Rashi's saying. Wow. Okay. It was saber fencing. Okay. The coolest, most macho tool of sports in 1930 was the saber. And the saber fencer was the ultimate athlete. This was a Jewish boy. He was born in 1904. He lived in Hungary. And in 1928, he won silver at the Olympics. And in 1932, he won gold. He won both team gold in 28 and 32, and he won personal gold. He was the world's greatest saber fencer in the 1932 Olympics in Los Angeles. He became a national hero in Hungary. He was Hungary, right? You got to figure, what kind of a family, a Jewish family, names their son Attila? You know what I mean? Like that's like you know, if your name is Epstein and you're living in Borough Park, and you name your kid Christian, you know, it's not really like I could say we've had lots of different names, right? That we've never had a Christian. You know what I mean, it's not. So this was obviously not. This is a family that's very proud of, you know, being Hungarian. They probably loved their Hungarian goulash, right? And he was, I mean, you know, if this guy went to synagogue on Yom Kippur, he probably quelled because he was the father of Attila Pechauer. And then the Nazis came. And the storm of Nazi Germany spread over Europe. And very quickly, although the Hungarian Jews did not get sent to the death camps, there were many, many hundreds of thousands of Hungarian young men who were sent to the labor battalions at the concentration camps. They just weren't death camps, right? And that has to do with the politics of Hungary and Germany. And the Black Cross, the Black Arrow, the Nazis of Hungary were regularly gathering up Jews on the streets, beating them, murdering them, sending them to horrible places. But Attila Pechauer, because of his position, he got an exemption. He had papers that meant he was exempt from these deportations, from the labor battalions, until 1943. 1943, he went out for a walk, and he happened to forget his papers. You have to understand, that'd be the equivalent of like LeBron James going for a walk without his papers. Like, but he's LeBron James. Like, you know, can you imagine the cop stopping him and say, "Give me your ID"? He'd look at him and go, "Dude, Levy James, you know, I'm the man," right? That's this guy's status. Olympic athlete. If you look up Olympic athlete online, saber fencing, his name will come up. That's how big he was, right? He didn't have his exemption papers, and the Nazis didn't care. So the next thing he knew, he ended up in a work camp, which was really a concentration camp, called the Davidovka camp, outside of Budapest in Hungary. And the first day he got there, he recognized one of the guards as a fellow athlete, a fellow by the name of Kalman Che, who was on the Olympic team of Hungary in 1928. And he was also a fencer, if I'm not mistaken. My guess is he resented the Jew who did well. And when he saw him, thinking, okay, he knows who he is, not clear what went through his head, he called out to him across this, you know, open area, right? Witnesses would later say that when Pech saw that this Jew had called him out, he turned to one of the other guards and said, "Make things hot for the Jew." Right? So they called him over. "Hey, Olympic athlete, let's see how well you can climb trees." It was a freezing cold day, January 28th, 1943, in the Davidovka camp in Hungary. And they made him climb a tree. But first they stripped him naked. Freezing cold, January, in Hungary, climbing a tree. When he got to the top of the tree, because he was an athlete, they took a water hose and they started spraying him with water. Now it was below freezing. So the water pretty soon turned to ice. It wasn't long before he fell, and they left him there, broken, battered, on this open area, and by the next day he was dead. The most Hungarian you could imagine, who was a Jew by chance, discovered the hard way that Hungary was not home. There is an interesting discussion in this week's Parsha Vayigash. Most times when we talk about Vayigash, it's the culmination of the story of Yosef. Everybody talks about that. It's the big dramatic moment. You know, it's like you're going to find out who did it, who did the murder. Is he going to be saved? Is the POW going to relieve? And then you go to the commercial. So you're waiting for Vayigash. And this big showdown, and Yehuda, and Binyamin, and the next thing, they're revealing themselves, and everybody talks about the big story, and that's what we usually talk about. But there is another topic that is hidden in this week's Parsha. This week, the Jewish people, such as they are, small though they are at the time, experienced the first instance of... Pardon? Golus. This is the first paradigm of exile. The Jewish family leaves Eretz Israel and they go down to Egypt. And it is very interesting to see the discussion that takes place, first between Yosef and the brothers, and then between Yosef and Paro, and then between the brothers and Paro, as to how one lands in exile. How do you deal with exile, right? Because despite the fact that we're in exile, this was predicted, right? Ki ger yeh zaracha be'eretz lalehem. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu tells Avram. Your offspring will be strangers in a land that isn't theirs. Now that's an interesting question, why that has to be. Why is that a prophecy? Why is that part of the recipe to accomplish whatever the Jewish people need to accomplish? But okay, we go into exile. And so now the journey really begins, right? Take a look. If you have, by the way, a Chumash this week, it'd be worth following along, all right? Take a look at Perek Mem Vav, right? Chapter 46, okay? Pasuk Lamed Bet. So this is interesting. Yaakov finds out that Yosef is alive. Vatechi Ruach Yaakov, he's rejuvenated. He and the brothers decide they're all going back down. He's going to see Yosef, right? Okay? I want to go see my son before he dies. This is not the guy who starts a business and is looking to buy a home in Skarsgård. He's just visiting. But he's old. Not clear what's going through Yaakov's head. Is this just a visit? Is it something more? We know it's going to be much, much more. Okay? All right. And he has this whole discussion, he dreams. What do we say? Perek, Memva, Pazuk, Lamed, Bet. Right? Vayomer Yosef Elechav. Okay? So the brothers come, they have this reunion. Yosef sees Yaakov. Yaakov sees Yosef. What's the famous pasuk? What happens when they meet? Anybody remember the words? Three words. Vayefk al tzavarav. It's one of the most powerful pasukim in the whole Torah. Right? And he cries on his shoulders. Obvious question is, who's crying? Yaakov and Yosef see each other. Right? The father sees the beloved son, hasn't seen him for 22 years, and he cries. Why does it say he cries? So Rashi picks up on this. Who cries? Yosef cries. What's Yaakov doing? Do you ever think about that? Like, really? Like, you see your son, you haven't seen your son in 22 years, and right then it's like, Myriv! Like, what is that? It's almost as though Yaakov has this incredible emotion. He doesn't want to waste it on himself. He wants to channel it to his relationship with Hashem. Right? Vishinantem. It's constantly on your mind. Right? Okay. Vayomer Yosef el Achav. Yosef says to his brothers, everybody calms down. The brothers are here. Now what's going to happen next? Now we know what happens, but let's say you didn't know what happens. So what would you think could happen? This is the beginnings of the Jewish people. We belong in Israel. So we're visiting. I set you up with a nice guest house. How long are you going to stay? Why don't you stay a little longer? None of that. What does Yosef do? Vayomer Yosef el Achav, vel Beit Aviv. He tells the whole clan. How many people are we talking about, by the way? 67. Minus Yosef and his two sons, right? That seems to be pshat, although that is a debate, right? Okay? Am I getting that right? Yeah, I think so. Elev agida leparo. I'm going to go tell Paro, okay? Ve'omra'il, and I'm going to tell him, Achayu Beit Avi, asher be'eretz Kanan bau elai. He's telling the brothers, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go to Paro. And I'm going to tell Paro, right, the ruler of the world at the time, that my father and brothers have come to see me. Okay. Ve'anashim ro'eitzon, ki anshei miknehayu. And these people, my father and brothers, they're shepherds, right? And they've brought all their flocks. That's a pasuk. What is Yosef doing here? Why do you think Yosef, first of all, why is he telling this to the brothers? And second of all, why is he going to say this to Paro? What's he trying to say to Paro? What do you think? He's telling the brothers, I'm going to go to Paro, and I'm going to tell Paro that my brothers and father have come, and they're shepherds, and they've brought all their flocks. Right, if you've brought all your flocks, right, you could have found someone to watch your flocks. In other words, you're coming to stay. Now, why would he have to tell Paro that they're coming to stay? Because who says that Paro, who says the Egyptians are going to let them stay? They didn't get a visa. You know, how long are they allowed to be here? Maybe. Okay? By the way, if they're shepherds, and they brought their flocks, right? What category does that put them in? Why is it important that he tells them, I get them, he's important to tell them that they've come. Why does he have to tell them that they're shepherds? What does that have to do with anything? Two possibilities, yeah?
They need a wide open land.
Pardon?
They need like a wide open land, somewhere for flocks, yeah.
Well, they're shepherds, like, okay, so you're saying it's because we want a space. Okay, what does that space become, by the way?
Goshen.
Goshen, okay, that's one possibility. Is that a possibility?
They need like a lot more food for their animals.
Ah! In other words, they're coming with animals. What's always the concern of a country when foreigners come to visit? If they're going to stay, they're going to bleed us dry, right? You'll never hear the French complaining about American immigrants to France. There are American immigrants to France because generally they come economically viable and they contribute to the economy, right? There's never a big discussion about, you know, the 30,000 Americans that come every year to Israel. Because that's probably one of the first aliyot in a long time that comes to Israel not because they're running from something, but because they're excited to come to something. What do you hear people talk about? You hear people talk about, you know, people from the Sudan, people from Ethiopia, because they're going to drain us economically. That's scary. But they're not going to drain us economically because they're businessmen. They're economically sound. They're shepherds. They have business, right? Maybe. Okay. V'aya ki yikra lachem Paro. And if Paro summons you, because you're, you know, the vice president's family just came, right? V'amar ma ma'asechem. And he says to you, what are you doing? What do you do? What's going on? Now Yosef is going to tell them what they should say to Paro. V'amartem, you should say, anshei mikneh hayu avadecha. Minureinu, we've been shepherds since we were born. We're not just shepherds. We're born shepherds. We grew up as shepherds. We know shepherding like nobody else knows shepherds. V'adata gam anachnu gam avoteinu, our forefathers were shepherds. Ba'avur teshvu be'eretz Goshen. In order that you can dwell in Goshen. Now, what does being shepherds have to do with dwelling in Goshen? Like somebody said. By the way, there is an additional factor here. That if we take Egypt as a larger picture, right? What else is a concern if you're a shepherd in Egypt? Pardon? Right. The one possibility is their God, right? That's one possibility. The other possibility is it's Ma'us, right? Okay? The Rashbam in Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, says the following. Nivzim hayu be'enehem, right? The Rashbam was one of the grandchildren of Rashi. Nivzim hayu be'enehem kol ho'e atzon, ki ma'asa tzon be'enehem, ben la'achila ben zevach. And he bases this on a pasuk, right? People who were shepherds were disgusting in the eyes of the Egyptians, right? So not necessarily at that point was it their God, or maybe because they were shepherding their gods. That's an interesting discussion. So better that you be separate. In other words, if you play your cards right, you'll get Goshen. You can have flocks, you can have space. The Medrash says that's where you're going to build the yeshiva, right? That's what Yosef seems to say, right? He says, first of all, his instructions are strategic. It's rather deceptive. Here's what you say. And if you say it this way, well, there's something a little bit manipulative here going on. Right? Second of all, you didn't come because there was a famine. You didn't come because you don't know where to... There's no place for your sheep to graze because there's no grass in Eretz Israel. You came to be with me. You're associated with me. You're here. You're the family of the vice president. Now, if you're the family of the vice president, the Mishneh LeMelech, and Egypt owes the Mishneh LeMelech so much, then it'll be good and you'll stay. Right? Shepherds are taboo. Don't say you're shepherds. You have flock, you'll go over there. Right? Not only that, but what happens next is even more interesting. Right? Vayavo Yosef, vayaged leparo. Now, if Yosef comes, right, to speak to Paro, right? Vayomer aviva chai v'tzonam uv'kram v'kol ha'shalem ba'u me'eretz Kanaan. They've come, right? V'hinam be'eretz Goshen. And they're in Goshen. What does he not do?
Call the shepherds.
Not yet. He will. No, he doesn't ask for Goshen. He says, they're already in Goshen. In other words, he's laying the groundwork for saying, well, they might as well stay there. Because Goshen isn't in Egypt. That's a good idea. It's not in downtown Cairo. Okay? V'hinam be'eretz Goshen. U'miktzei echav lakach chamisha anashim. V'yatzigem lifnei paro. And he takes... 5 people. He doesn't bring all 12 brothers. He takes 5 people. Why does he take, right, only 5 people? So Rashi says, Miktzei Echav, min apchutim shebahem legvura. He takes the weaker ones, right? He takes Reuven, not Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi were the fighters. They were the ones who destroyed Shechem. Reuven is a little weaker. Yisachar, he's a yeshiva bacher. Why do you think he wants to bring the weaker ones there? So there are 2 possibilities. One possibility is so the Paro won't be nervous, but you know, this is the guy who rules the free world. Or the not free world. What's he going to care with those 5 or 10 guys? So Rashi suggests something else. She'im yireh otam giborim yaseh otam anshei melchamto. If he sees the power of Yehuda, he'll want them for his army. He'll make them generals. He'll bring them into the government. This is a clever way, right, to kind of respect Paro without getting sucked in too much. Right? Okay. Now it says, Vayomer Paro Elechav. Now this is interesting. What does not happen here? Yosef says, V'hayaki yikra lachem Paro. And if Paro calls you, here it just all of a sudden says, Paro says to the brothers, Ma ma'asechem. What's missing? Doesn't say Paro called them. Pshat, the Rashbam says this, the Radak says this, and other Mefarshim say this, is that Paro didn't actually call them. Paro could care less about them. So Yosef has to bring them. Now, let's think about this for a second. Yosef says he's going to call you. In the end, he doesn't call them, so Yosef has to bring them. What do you think that means? What does that tell you? What's the difference between what happens and what Yosef's perception was? This is a constant challenge that we have in exile. We think, yeah? Yosef thinks he's a little more important than he actually is. You know? I was once having a discussion with someone. And I was talking about, you know, after 2,000 years, you know, Israel, is this where we belong? You know, and I can understand a person has practical reasons, parnassa reasons, whatever, but sometimes people get into ideological discussions. And this fellow, firm guy, ideologically felt that it was valuable for Jews to remain in, I don't know, wherever, Teaneck, right? Why? Because if the Jews are in America, they have political power. And if we have political power in America, well, then we can influence government and decisions, and that's good for the Jews everywhere. It's good for Israel. As if to say that whether we're in America and how many of us are in America, that's going to determine whether we influence the government and stays in, so there's something much bigger, right? We're an important entity in America. Does that sound familiar? Yeah? You know how many German Jews there were who fought in World War I, who felt that the Jewish people were so good for the economy, which was true? There were a lot of economists who never imagined that the Nazis would turn on the Jews because they were going through a depression. It was after the 1929 crash. The last population you would want to undermine would be the Jews. They contributed more to the economy per capita than any other population in Germany. We think we're so important. Maybe we're not so important. It's a little scary. Paradigm of exile. Okay, right? So, what actually happens, right, when the brothers actually speak to Paro? So, Paro speaks, Vayomer Paro lechav ma maaseicha. Now remember, what did Yosef say? Don't say, okay, right? Just say that you came for me. Just say that you brought all your flocks with you, right? Don't say that you came because you're in a famine. Because if you come because you have no food, then you're indigents. You're refugees. That's not a good move. Be businessmen. What do the brothers do? They go out of their way to undermine Yosef's entire argument. It's almost like the debate, the struggle, the tension between Yosef and the brothers has never really dissipated. Listen to this. Vayomu el paro, ro'ei tzon avadecha. Right? Okay? Exactly what Yosef says, Ve'amartem anshei mikneh hayu avadecha. What's the difference between ro'etzon anshei mikneh? Anshei mikneh is men of cattle, they're businessmen. Ro'etzon are people who need grazing lands, right? Gam anachnu gam avotim. Vayomu el paro lagul ba'aretz banu ki ein mir'eh latzon asher la'avadecha. Yosef says, tell Paro that you're coming to be with me. It's just a family reunion. What do they say? We've come because we don't have grazing lands here. By the way, lagul be'eretz banu. What does lagul mean? What is the other possibility? Lashevet. Fayeshev Yaakov be'ber'shev. Right? What does Avraham Avinu say when he encounters the people of Hebron? And he wants to purchase a plot for the burial of Sarah. You remember the line? Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I am a ger and a toshav. So all the commentaries talk about what's the difference between a ger and a toshav. The toshav is the person who dwells therein. I've been promised this land. I am an equal citizen, one of you. But I'm also a ger. I don't belong with you. And I don't want to be with you. I don't want to become a member. Right? Ephron, Chiti, wants to give him the plot. If he gives him the plot of land, then Sarah is being buried in a Chittite burial plot. And Avram is being included in Chittite culture. And Avram says, no, that's not what I want. This is going to be a Jewish burial plot. Because if you're a ger when you're sitting with the Chittites, then you're maintaining a distinct identity. If you're a Toshav, then you're living in the land. Am I visiting America? Whether it's for a year or 100 years, or am I living in America? You know? Every time someone says, and I want to be clear, I don't judge an individual. People live where they live for a variety of reasons. It's not for me or anybody else to judge what people do. But when a guy says to me, I'm going home to New Jersey, I'm going home to Connecticut, I get that home is where you hang your hat, and I get if your parents are there, there's an aspect of home. But Teaneck's not your home. Miami's not your home. This is your home. And it may be that you'll leave home, and it may be you'll leave home for a long time. But this is your home. And one day the Jewish people will come back here. There's no prophecy that says that a day ad forever the Jewish people will be in Florida. I mean, if you're going to pick a gullus, that's a good one. But, right? There's a prophecy, there's a nevuah that we're going to be here. So why are the brothers doing this? The brothers go out of their way to say, we're just here temporarily. Right? We're not businessmen. We're refugees. We didn't come for Yosef. We came for grazing land. And we're only here temporarily. What's going on? Why this tension? What's the debate? Right? By the way, it's interesting. Vayomru el Paro. They didn't wait. They have a message to give to Paro, and they want Yosef to hear it. Right? Yosef thinks Paro will summon them. He doesn't. It's almost like these two positions, that they're almost incompatible with each other. Right? In fact, you know what's really interesting? What happens next? Let's see if you notice this. Okay? So the brothers speak to Yosef. Vayomru el Paro, lagur be'eretz banu, etc., etc. What's the next pasuk? We're now in pasuk Hey, Perek Mem Zayin pasuk Hey, 47:5. Vayomer Paro el Yosef. Do you get this? Pasuk Gimel Vayomer Paro el Achav, Mama Sechem. Vayomru el Paro, they say to him. And then they continue. Vayomru el Paro, it says again. He's not interested now. Why does it say Vayomru twice? Imagine I'm having a conversation with you. And I say, you know, what's your name? And you say, Yoni. And I say, okay, and I start talking to you. And you say, oh, because I'm not talking to you anymore. They're not done. They've got a message to tell Paro. Vayomru again. Now look at the next person. Vayomru Paro Yosef. Where are the brothers? He's ignoring the brothers. Now, if Yosef says what you should say is that you're businessmen and you came to be with Yosef, with me, tells this to the brothers and he tells this to Paro. But the brothers tell Paro, no, no, we're shepherds. And we're not coming here to stay. We're only here because there's no food in Israel. We're not here to be with Yosef. We came down because we have no choice, but we don't want to be here. So which position would you assume Paro would accept? Listen to what Paro says. You don't have to guess. Vayomer Paro Yosef lemor, avicha v'achecha ba'u elecha. Your father and your brothers came to see you. That's wonderful. Who is he listening to? He's listening to Yosef. Whatever the position of Yosef is, that's the one Paro likes. Agreed? Pshat in the pasuk. Eretz Mitzrayim lefanecha hi b'meitav haaretz hoshev et avicha v'etachecha. You can settle, hoshev. He's ignoring the brothers. He's not accepting what they say. He's not accepting what they say, that they're temporary dwellers, lagur ba'aretz banu. He's saying, Hoshev otam, you're going to be settlers. I want you to live here. Do you hear that tension? Yeshvu ba'aretz Goshen, let them live in Goshen. Yosef says they happen to be there. Paro says, great, let them be there. Ve'im yadata, by the way, if the Rashbam's correct, and the Egyptians have an issue with people who have cattle, who are shepherds, right? Then what would be the value of them being in Goshen? What's it going to avoid?
Main city.
Conflict. You know? If you're in, I don't know, Texas, right? And there's a whole bunch of Bubba ver Chassidim. And you know there's a lot of Klansmen out in Texas. So if the Bubba ver Chassidim are in a suburb or all on their own, they don't get in anybody's faces. So if they don't get in anybody's face, nobody's giving them a hard time. Everything is just calm. It doesn't get in your face. There's no conflict. If there's no conflict, then what happens? You can stay. That's the easiest way to make sure you can stay. Right? You ever wonder why Jews always live apart? Sometimes they live apart because they want to maintain their identity. Sometimes they live apart because that way they don't have any trouble. As soon as the trouble starts, right, then Jews have a problem. Jews in France today are starting to realize this is not home. They don't want us here. the percentage of, I saw a statistical study recently, it was a survey that was done, it appeared in the Jerusalem Post, said that 68% of French Jews, right, don't believe they have a future in France. And they're scared to walk around and identify as Jews. Okay? This is anecdotal now, I've heard this from a few people. Half of the Jews in France who can afford are buying houses outside of France. Most of them are not buying in Israel, they're buying in places like Montreal, but they're buying outside of France. Right? By the way, as an aside, if a Frenchman is nervous about anti-Semitism and he's buying a house in Montreal, then he's an idiot, but that's another discussion. Because there's a lot of anti-Semitism in Montreal, but fine. Right? So if Paro says you'll be in Goshen, it makes it simple. Maybe Paro's fine with them staying. They have something to offer. Right? Okay? So what's going on here? Why is he pretending the brothers don't exist? Because this is not the brothers. Right? And you see that there is this tension because, don't forget your question, because in the Haggadah, right? By the way, this is a fantastic Torah for Pesach, right? In the Magid, what do we say? Vayagar Sham Bimtei Ma'at. That's part of the text of the Bikurim in the beginning of Parsha Kitavo in Dvarim. Right? When you bring the basket of fruit up, you know, sort of as gratitude to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple. So there's this text that you read, and that text, part of it is in the Haggadah. We read it on the night of Pesach. Right? Why? Why are we reading about Yaakov and Lavan on the night of Pesach? Because this is the story of how exile began. This is how it started. Vayered Mitzrayim vayagar sham. He didn't lo vayeshev sham. He dwelled there. He was a temporary settler. Bimtei ma'at. Vayhi sham legoy gadol atzum varav. But he became a great nation. He flourished. So the Sifri on Parsha Kitavo is quoted in the Haggadah, right? The Medrash. Remember this? This is the stuff you mumble when you're getting hungry, right? You missed this one. It teaches that Yaakov did not go down to settle down. Lishtakeh is to settle down. Shakua is to be immersed in something. Ela lagul sham. He just wanted to dwell there temporarily. Shenemar vayomu el paro lagul ba'eretz vado. Ki ein mir'e latzon asher levadecha. The brothers did not want to dwell in Egypt. They didn't want to live in Egypt. This is the guy who goes to America because he has to be there for whatever reason. He doesn't want to buy a house. When we were in Boca for 3 years. We talked about it. You know? Maybe we should take a loan. Maybe we should invest. Buy an apartment while we're there. Live in it. And when we leave, on Shlichut. So we'll sell it. We'll make some money. I did not want to buy a place in America. We started Israelite. We started running chapters. Started going up to New York. You know, teaching. And people were saying, like, it's hard to raise money for programs. Raise money for, build a center. I didn't want to invest in real estate in America. To this day, I'll write the programs on campuses, have no physical construct. It's not about a place. In fact, I'd rather that I write the students, join other organizations and make them better than to create our organization. It doesn't interest me. Don't want to invest in the exile. It's not going to last. It's not the future of the Jewish people. That's clear in the Haggadah. I'm not just saying this because it's an opinion. This is what the Baal Haggadah says. They didn't go down there to stay. They came because they had no choice. Now, by the way, if they went down because there was a famine, which is what he's saying, ki kaved harav ba'aretz, who decided they have to go to Egypt? Because Baruch Hu decided they have to go. If you're in exile, and you're in exile because you have no choice, because Hashem decided you need to be in exile, that doesn't mean you have to decide that that's home. That's what the brothers seem to say. Who seems to disagree with them? Yosef. That's unbelievable. Yosef is saying we should assimilate. Yosef is saying, tell them you're businessmen. You'll get along better. You know? Paro will call you. At first glance, it appears that the brothers are saying that the way a Jew should behave in exile is to know that he's there temporarily. He should be clear this isn't his home. He should distance himself. In fact, what do? They say, right? Yeshvu na'avadecha be'eretz Goshen. Let us dwell in Goshen. Exactly what Yosef said, don't do. We're just there. He'll give it to us. They say we want it. What's the game? Yosef wants the brothers to be in Goshen, so it seems, because then they'll get along with the Egyptians. Right? they can become part of Egyptian culture. The brothers, so it seems, they want to be in Goshen so they can be separate, so that they won't be part of Egyptian culture. What's going on? And by the way, you know what's really interesting about this? The Medrash says that Yosef is the paradigm for how exile is supposed to be. The Zohar talks about this on the Psukim in Yirmiyahu. When the Jewish people go down to their first major exile, which is after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the prophet of the day is Yirmiyahu HaNavi. In Yirmiyahu HaNavi, this is in Perek Chavtet, 29th chapter of Jeremiah, right? Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, so says the Lord of Hosts, Elokei Yisrael, L'chol ha-gola, asher igleitim Yerushalayim bavela, to all of the diaspora, all the Jews who are in Bavel, who are in Babylon, bnu batim, build houses, v'shevu, and dwell there. This is what you should do. Yosef was right. V'nitu ganot, plant gardens, v'ichlu et peryam, flourish. Marry, have children, let your children have children. Urevusham altimatu, multiply, flourish, enjoy galus. Vidirshu et shlomayir, and care about the welfare of the community that you're in. This is the basis, by the way, for tefillah l'shalom ha'medina in America. Right? If you live in America, you should be saying a Misha Berach to protect the United States, his armed forces, the president. There's a halachic basis for this. Dirshu et shlom ha'ir asher igleit etchem shama v'itpalu ba'adai l'ashem ki b'shloma yeh lachem shalom. Care about the welfare. Ask Hashem to protect the place you're in, because when it's at peace, you'll be at peace. If you're a Jew living in Germany in 1913, you do not want World War I. Be a part of the culture. Build homes there. I am a German first. Fight in the army. Assimilate. Flourish. Go to campuses. Be part of secular society. Which is it? Or live in Goshen. Which is it? Is it United University of Nebuch, Maryland? Right? Or Yeshiva University? Is it Yeshiva University? Or really you should be in Araita, in Har Etzion, in Keren B'Yavne, in Hakotel. Take courses in the afternoon in Hebrew, whatever. This seems to be a conflict. And yet there's a problem here. Because we know Yosef better than that. Yosef doesn't think that we belong in Egypt. In fact, the best proof I can think of for this is the end of Sefer Bereishit. This is the Chatimah of the entire Sefer. Right? We finish the conclusion of the entire book of Genesis. Is we're in exile, we're in Egypt, Yosef is going to die, the brothers are dying off, you know, Paro is about to enslave us, it's bad. What does Yosef say? The Mishnah Lanav, the vice president. What does he say? Anochi meit velohim yivpakod yivkod etchem, the last psukim in Vayechi. You don't even have to remember where it is, but it's Perek Nun, Pasuk, Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, 24th, 25th, end of the book of Genesis. And when God remembers you, and He brings you home, you will not stay here. You will go home. I don't want to stay in Egypt. I'm not an Egyptian. Now, on the one hand, I want to go home. And He makes them swear an oath. He swears them to this. And we all know the story. When they're leaving Egypt, they have to find the Aron of Yosef, and they bring him out with them. And yet Yosef has two sons. And what does he name these sons? Menashe and Ephraim. Why does he call one of them Menashe? Ki nashani Elokim. Right? Hashem allowed me to forget. And the Medrash Tanchuma says, Hashem allowed me to forget where I came from. This is where I am, and that's okay. What is Ephraim? Right? Ephraim is ki frani. Hashem caused me to flourish in the land of my travail. We're flourishing here. Yosef says, we're going to be in Galut, let's flourish. So Yosef is complicated. Which is it? Is it the brothers? Stay separate. Is it Yosef? Become apart. Yosef is the paradigm of the Jew who says, you know, I can put my tefillin on in the morning, I can learn Gemara, I can have a chavrusa, and I can also be a businessman. I can be in the government, I can be part of culture. The brothers seem to be in the opposite frame of mind. Right? Yosef is the ultimate Egyptian. You know what's going on here? Maybe what's going on here is that they're both right. The goal was never to be in Galut. The goal is not to be Egyptian. Yosef is not trying to make the Jews fit into Egypt. He's trying to make Egypt fit the Jews. He's saying, if we're going to be here, we have to see, we have to utilize Egyptian culture, right? You know, Rashi, fascinating Rashi. Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Nun Hei, right? Let me ask you a question. He has a lot of anti-Semitism. I was talking to a boy, we have an alumni who is from Berlin, actually born in Dusseldorf, and he's studying business in Berlin University, and he came today. It was awesome to see him. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism going around in Germany, in Europe, in America. It's a little scary. So Germany had a day, do you remember this? Where they decided, I think it was in Berlin, everybody's going to wear a kippah. Do you remember this? Politicians came, they wore a kippah. For a whole day, or for whatever time it was, everybody walked around with a kippah. We're all wearing kippot. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think? You think it's bad? You think it's good? Well, tell me what's positive about it and tell me what's challenging about it. I'd have a hard time saying that's bad, but yeah.
It's good that it makes it normal to see people, but it's bad if you take away the meaning of kippah.
Oh, if everybody's wearing kippah, my kippah doesn't set me apart. Right? On the other hand, it's a beautiful thing that a part of a secular Christian culture says, we're not going to stand by for this. We are all Jews today. It's complicated. Life is not black and white. But if we're all one, and we're all assimilated, then who are we? The goal of the Jewish people was never just the Jewish people. The Jewish people is the vehicle to be a light to the nations. We're supposed to make a difference. Listen to this Rashi. Rashi says, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Nun Hei, Rashi says like this. Asher Yomar Lachem Ta'asu. Paro says to the advisors, whatever Yosef says to you, you have to do. So Rashi notes this as a question. Paro has to tell them to do what he says. He's going to give them food. Of course they're going to do what he says. So crazy Rashi, out of nowhere, from the Medrash. Lefisha ya Yosef omer lehem shiyimolu. Because Yosef was telling them to get a bris. What a ridiculous thing to do. Can you imagine if we had the first Jared Kushner becomes president, and as his first executive act, he says, we're going to make a law that all Americans should get circumcised. That'd be ridiculous. What could this Rashi mean? Do you know that the government, under Yosef, supported the concept of a priestly caste? Right? He ordered that the land of the priests should not be taken. Kohanei Mitzrayim. He created, or he served, or he supported a priestly caste. Mender says an unbelievable thing. You know why Yosef did this? So that one day, when the Jewish people would need a priestly caste, it wouldn't be strange. Right? There are sources to suggest Moshe and Aaron come and go as they please. Nobody says boo to them because the Levium didn't work. There's an idea. He's creating the culture that allows for Jews to be more accepted. That's what Yosef does. Yosef is all about, let's use Galut to grow. If you're going to be in America, you know, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, in France, go to the Sorbonne or the University of Berlin and gain from secular knowledge. Study science, study math. Be Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, go to Harvard, study literature. So much to gain, right? The brothers say, but if you're in Harvard studying literature, who's to say that you're going to impact Harvard? Maybe Harvard is going to impact you. Who's to say that people are going to marvel at the Jew who wears a kippah on campus? Maybe the Jew on campus feels so different, wants to blend in, and takes his kippah off. That is the struggle of Parshat Vayigash. That's exactly what's going on here. The goal is the world. The goal is to make a better world. The Jewish people have the ability to impact Egypt. Say the brothers, make sure that you're impacting Egypt, but that Egypt doesn't impact you too much. That balance, that tension, that question is what you have to constantly keep your finger on. Don't lose your identity. The original promise to Avram. Avram says in Lech Lecha Vayera, "Bameh eda ki ir Hashem." How do I know this is going to last? How do I know that people are going to inherit? Right? What's the answer of Brit Ben Aptarim? What's the central promise of the Brit Ben Aptarim? Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. They will be in exile. They will begin to impact the world, but they will always be strangers. And because they're strangers, and they don't lose their identity, they'll always be able to have an impact. Yosef is saying, let's change the world. The brothers are saying, let's make sure the world doesn't change us. You need both. You need that balance. Right? And part of the way that you keep that balance is that you remember, say the brothers, that Egypt is temporary. We don't belong here. We can make a difference, but we don't belong here. You know? That's the challenge. Many of you, for better or worse, will leave these halls and will go to parts all over the world. You'll go to different universities, you'll work in different fields, and you'll start to think you're at home. And the truth is, you can have an enormous impact on the world. Per capita, the Jewish people have the most Nobel Prize winners in history. Right? The number of stocks traded on the NASDAQ, right, of Israeli companies is second only to the United States. That's unbelievable. Right? The world the largest religion in the world, which is 2.3 billion people, it's almost 40% of the population of the world, are Christians. And Christianity came from Judaism. That's a beautiful thing, with all of its challenges. But we're small people. And if we get swallowed up, then the world loses something special. You know? And that's true for every one of us. How do you carry that? And there are two ways this can go. Because what really happens, at the end of this parsha, it says, at the beginning of Shemot, Uvneso paru, vayishritzu, vayarbu, bimod mod. Remember that pasuk? Vayishritzu. That's such a derogatory word. Like a sheretz, like a, you know, they right? Imagine you visit your cousin, you know, and maybe, you know, he's got a rich grandfather and he learns in the mirror and he has, Baruch Hashem, lots of children. You say, how many children do you have? He says, I have 17 children. You say, wow, you're like cockroaches. That's a horrible thing to say. Like, you wouldn't say that. That's beautiful. What a wonderful thing, you know. I don't know, revenge against the Nazis, whatever. I'm in awe of people who can do that. I don't. There's enough work to have four children. Vayishritzu. So the Medrash says, Vatimalei haaretz otam. It should say, Vayimalu et haaretz. They filled the land. It says the land filled them. They became more Egyptian than the Egyptians. They went with Yosef. They weren't naming their kids, you know, Yehuda and David. They were naming them Scott and Keith and, you know, Fred, right? And, you know, you ask them, what's the date? They weren't saying, hey, B.E.R. They were saying January 1st. You know, one of the classes this week, so, you know, you guys know me already. I always quiz you, what's today's date? Right? And at the beginning of the year, everybody says, oh, it's like December 20th, whatever. And they finally figured out it's not the date I'm looking for. But then I put down the English date because with the colleges and transcripts, they need to know what the date is, fine. So I wasn't sure what the date was. So everybody started laughing, like, how do you know it's not January 1st? I was like, oh, I've been here long enough. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's fine with me that I don't know it's January 1st. Because what's January 1st? You know what you celebrate on January 1st? It's the bris. That's what you're celebrating. It's not a Christian holiday. Right? Okay. They became too Yosef. They lost the balance of the brothers. What happens next? Ayakam melech hadash al Mitzrayim, ashalo zachar et Yosef. There's a new king. Whether that's a new king or the same king who forgets, Hashem says, this is not going to be your home. If you don't get it, I'll find a way to make sure you know. There was no Jew 200 years later, 80 years later, who thought Egypt was home. If you went and polled Jews in 1931 in Germany, what percentage of them thought Germany is home? I'll bet a pretty large percent. Right? You ask them 1941, 10 years later, nobody thought Germany was home. It's a little scary. Because you go back to Germany today, there's Jews in Germany who think Germany is home. You ask the average American Jew, thinks he has two homes. He gets upset because Trump says the wrong thing. I'm not going to get into politics of America. Dual loyalty, you know? We don't have dual loyalty. I was talking recently to a friend of mine who defines himself as a very liberal left-wing Jew. Doesn't matter what that label, and labels are terrible, but that's what he called himself. Right? He asked me if I'm right-wing. I said, well, are you left-wing? We have this interesting discussion. So he was asking me what I thought. Do really people love Trump over there or whatever? I said, well, they love some of the things Trump does. They don't respect some of the things he doesn't do. Fine. Okay. Whatever. So he said, but he's an anti... You can imagine how this discussion went. Right? So he said, when he accuses you of dual loyalty, that's anti-Semitic. So I said to him, well, do you feel you have dual loyalty? He said, of course not. I said, oh, who are you loyal to? He said, America. I was born here. I owe America everything. I'm an American Jew. I value Israel, but I'm not loyal to Israel, you know, compared to America. And I'm like, you know, I don't meet people like that often. I respect a person's opinion. That's a little scary. And that's the challenge of Parshat Vayigash. If you're going to go into that world, and many of you will, doesn't matter whether I agree with that, doesn't matter whether I support it, doesn't matter. If that's where you're going, then at least be prepared. That's the message of Yosef. Find that balance. If you can be a chacham, if you can be in the middle, awesome. If you can gain from the university experience and grow and have an impact on your surrounding, Jewish and non-Jewish, that's awesome. Just remember that you want to be impacting your surrounding. Don't let your surrounding impact you too much. That's a very hard thing to do. Most probably, it's hard to be a chacham, be a chassid. Err on the side of caution. The chassidim were not in Cairo. The chassidim, the tzaddikim were in Cairo. Yosef was a tzaddik. The chassidim were in Goshen. Everybody's having an awesome Shabbos.